Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will get to your calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, the promise, I will get to your calls. Yesterday, we talked about the funding needed for the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, and didn't get to any calls. Today, we will get to some calls. But a little story here quickly. After I did the broadcast last night, I did a Bible Answer Man Facebook live broadcast with my daughter, Christina. And that broadcast went on, the Facebook live broadcast, for about an hour and a half. And I was sitting there thinking about the fact that I'm doing a broadcast with my daughter. And it reminded me, well, I should say probably most correctly, it reminded my wife of Cindy Martin Morgan, one of the daughters of Walter Martin, who was the founder of this organization. And as we got home, we began talking about the legacy that Walter Martin had left. He has been coronated. He has received many crowns, but his work continues on. He has laid up for himself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. 28 years ago, June 26th, Walter Martin went home to be with the Lord. And I thought it would be only appropriate to have his dear daughter on the broadcast today. Someone who, by the way, is carrying on his legacy in so many different ways. She's been one of the staunchest supporters of the pro-life movement through her talent, through her tenacity, through her commitment. She is a true daughter of Walter Martin. The characteristics I saw in Walter Martin that attracted me to him are the characteristics that I see in Cindy Martin Morgan, and I am delighted to welcome her to this segment of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Hank. Nice to be with you.
It is wonderful to have you on the broadcast. And again, I think you hear from the prologue to this broadcast what your dad meant in founding a ministry in 1960. He had a vision. He had a vision of technology and the use of technology. And it's absolutely incredible to see today how his vision has become a reality.
It really is. And he was not a computer kind of guy. He never really had those skills or abilities, but he sought out those who did, and he informed himself because he had that vision to incorporate it into what would be the tools that he would need to spread the gospel using CRI all over the world, which was his goal.
My daughter said on the broadcast yesterday that she was so proud of me as her father. I can imagine how proud you are to this day of the legacy of yours.
Yes, I am very proud of him. In fact, one of the last times that I had with him, he had taken us over to that big building that he had gotten for CRI. It was in California. I can't remember the town. It might have been Irvine, but he was showing us through this building that they were beginning to set up for CRI over there, and he was just remarking to me, Cindy, this was my dream. This is my dream, and God has blessed it, and I'm just so excited and so thankful to see all that he is doing through me, you know, not taking the glory for it himself, but just recognizing the hand of God on his life and recognizing that all of this was being raised up through the mighty hand of God, who he loves so much, and his Father. And he just was so excited, and to experience that joy with him was something that I will never forget.
Here we are 28 years later, and there have been so many people that have joined with us as support team members. As we said on yesterday's broadcast, they are, as it were, our special forces, our Green Berets. Without them, no one would be hearing our broadcasts or our podcasts or receiving the Christian Research Journal. Talk about how important it is for people to honor your dad's legacy and the legacy of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute now for 57 years by supporting the ministry prayerfully and financially.
Well, I feel that my dad's calling, of course, was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he did that with all his, he did it with all of his heart and soul and mind. He wanted to follow the admonition of 1 Peter 3:15, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And I think it was really his vision to get the gospel in the hands of those who needed it, and to get answers in the hands of those who had not been able to find their way, that were in the darkness. And I think that we all have to support and do what God puts on our hearts where the gospel is concerned. That's really critical that we do that, and we rely on the Lord's direction in our churches and in our lives, and however God guides us and directs us, that the gospel, there's nothing more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important than the souls of men that are lost. And we are to be light, and we are to be salt, and we are to the gospel should always be on our lips. It shouldn't be an afterthought.
You have had such an instrumental role, not only through prose, but also through the lyrics that you have written with respect to the pro-life movement. This is a passion for you, and this needs to remain a passion for Christians. Some Christians suffer from what has often been described as fetist fatigue. In other words, we've heard the warnings against abortion. We've heard that abortion is taking the life of an innocent human being, but it's been said so many times in so many different ways, we often become anesthetized to one of the greatest, if not the greatest, holocausts that one could possibly imagine in human history.
Yes, that's what we are facing, and we do get kind of dulled. I think our senses get kind of dulled because you're just always up against the issue, and it's like we get human fatigue, you know, where we just put it on the back burner. I think that happens to all of us in every area. This area in particular is one that is quite serious, though, where we always have to remember that there are people that are depending on us being a voice for them and speaking when they can't speaking up for them, when they can't speak up for themselves. Their very lives do hang in the balance. And I think that it's refreshing. It's filling yourself with the Word of God daily, like you do as a Christian. And it's coming before the Lord, and it's just asking Him to give you remembrance of what's the most pressing and important thing that He wants you to do that day. And in doing those things that He puts your heart and your hand to, it's also in remembering that there are constants out there, like the unborn, where God constantly wants us to be praying for their good, to be seeking their good, to be speaking up and helping others to realize that these are people that deserve life just as much as you and I do, that God is the giver and the taker of innocent life, not us. And I think that we just have to just keep renewing our minds, I think is what it comes down to. And, you know, we don't fortunately all get fatigued at the same time. And I think that when we notice each other is getting kind of, you know, away from an issue that maybe is really, really critical like this one, that we can nudge one another and we can encourage one another and we can build and lift one another up in this area so that we can spur each other on to those good works for the unborn little by little and help each other along the way to make a difference for time and for all eternity. So,
talking to Cindy Martin Morgan, she is the daughter of Walter Martin, who is the founder, of course, of the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, had a vision for this ministry, a discernment ministry. He was oftentimes referred to as the father of the countercult movement, and the impact that he made while he was alive was monumental. That impact continues on today. Cindy, if you were someone that was passing Walter's car while he was driving the streets of Southern California, you would have seen a license plate that said Jude 3. That verse, of course, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. That was his life verse. He displayed it everywhere, even, as I said, on his license plate, but that's the verse he lived by.
It is. It is the verse he lived by. And, you know, my dad was such a mentor for me. We often took walks together, and he would talk to me about what God was doing in his life, and he'd be so excited about it. And that just really rubbed off on me because it made God real. It made God real to me in every step that I took. And I will be forever, you know, grateful to my dad for bringing the Lord into my presence, in a sense, you know, just making God seem as real as he really is. And one thing he said to me when we would take walks, he would remind me, look, you need to keep a journal, and you need to keep track of God, he'd say. Write down what your prayer requests are to the Lord, and then remember to come back in and fill in those answers. And he said, and when you get discouraged, you take out that book, and you remind yourself of the goodness of God. Read through what you asked him, and read through what he told you, and be refreshed, and remember that he's with you. And I'll tell you, that has really stayed with me my whole life. Just that idea of, yes, God loves me. God cares about every detail of my life. God is with me. And to keep track of God in such a way that I never forget of his goodness to me.
This is the, as I mentioned at the outset, this is the 28th year that we remember your dad's coronation. We know that he is in the presence of God. Anything that you can add to the discussion as we think about your dad, his legacy, and how his legacy might be an encouragement for us to order our life around the divine, to work not for the city of man, but as it were, for the city of God.
Well, I would encourage people. A hymn comes to mind when you were talking, and that I love hymns, and my father did too. And the hymn, "He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." I'm trying to remember the name of that hymn, but those words were going through my mind as you were speaking. And I just think that we all need to cry out to God to give us a vision, you know, give us a vision of what he wants, not a real vision, but you know what I mean, give us that heartfelt purpose and show us what our calling is, show us what our gifts are so that we can use them the most for his glory. And I think that that's what was so interesting about my dad, because not everybody seems as driven as that. I haven't known that many people like him, quite frankly. He was so driven, but he knew what his purpose was. He knew what God had put in his hands to do, and he knew he could do nothing else. And he was driven to serve the Lord with all of his heart and to raise up a ministry that God had put on his heart to reach those around him for his kingdom that needed answers to the questions that they weren't necessarily finding in churches. A lot of the times with the cults, and Mormonism was a really big issue during his life, time, and he just really wanted to give, he wanted to kind of pull the lid off of these cults and help the church to understand, no, this is not the same Jesus we're talking about. They may have all the same terms, but we're not talking about the same Jesus. And it was really important to my dad to help people to understand the true Jesus, the true gospel.
Cindy Martin Morgan, thank you so much for joining us for this portion of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, remembering your dad, his legacy. And I can tell you, just as you are proud of your dad, I am quite certain that he is proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Hank, for those kind words. God bless you, dear brother.
Thank you so much, Cindy, for spending this time with our audience right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As promised, I am going to go to your calls on the broadcast. When we come back from the break, the number to dial, love to talk to you, 888-ASK-HANK. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back.
Veteran journalist Tom Bethel believes the great problem with science as it is understood today is that authority more and more replaces evidence. In his new book, Darwin's House of Cards, Bethel explains how Darwinism was once a well-fortified castle with elaborate towers, moats, and battlements. Yet today, it more closely resembles a house of cards, built out of flimsy icons rather than hard evidence, and liable to blow away in the slightest breeze. Don't overlook this evidence-driven opportunity to topple the authoritarian regime that Darwinism is in the world today. To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Journalist Tom Bethel uses his decades-long journey through the flimsy evidence of Darwinism to make a compelling case to topple Darwin's House of Cards, arguably the greatest myth in the history of science. To receive your copy of Bethel's book, Darwin's House of Cards, as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And if you haven't done so already, download CRI's Equip app. It's free. You can listen, learn, share. Just go to equip.org/app. Also, you can subscribe to my free daily e-truth. In this daily email, I send you clear and concise answers to the most common as well as the most difficult questions I've been asked. As host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, for your free daily e-truth, go to equip.org and sign up right there on the equip.org homepage. Let's go to the phone lines. Talk to Anthony listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Anthony.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My question is about a verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It's kind of a little bit of a long verse, but the end of it, it ends, you cannot serve God and Mammon. That's in the King James version of the Bible. But there are other translations where it says you cannot serve God and money. And I was just kind of wondering, like, why is there a difference, and which is like the correct one?
Sure, and this is a beautiful verse when you think about it. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So here's the bottom line. This is like a slave attempting to serve two masters, people attempting to maintain an attachment to both that which is earthly and that which is heavenly. So we can be a slave to the things of this world, or we can be bondservants or bondslaves of Christ. It's impossible to serve both, because both demand full allegiance. And that's why Jesus calls mammon, or riches, or maybe an overarching term for the things of this world, a master, not because it is indeed evil by its nature, it's not ontologically evil, but because of the control it can have over people. I mean, think about how that works in daily life. The things of this world, riches and pleasures, the world, the flesh, and the devil can so easily get a grasp on our hearts. See, here you have an overarching umbrella term for earthly things as opposed to those which are heavenly.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep, thank you.
Cool.
That helped. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Anthony. I'm going to go from an Anthony to an Andrew in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Nice talking to you.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. Talking about fasting, there are priests, as far as a focus through Lent, an excellent example he gave us was, you know, fasting was part of a three-legged stool, and he said the other things, the focus were almsgiving and also Bible study, and it's kind of keep a perspective as we go through Lent.
Yeah, that's right. That's beautiful. It's absolutely true. And, this is one of the things I try to communicate with respect to an aspect of fasting, and there are many. Maybe there are more legs than just the three, but the one leg that you mentioned that I think is so transcendently important is to recognize that as we're fasting, we come to a true valuation of things, and we realize that a lot of things we take for granted are things that others do not have. So it gives us an opportunity to take the money that we are saving, which we would oftentimes put into our own food and luxuries, and we start reserving that and giving it to the poor. So it's a great habit to get into during the Lenten season, to fast and not only demonstrate that your belly is not your God, but you have a higher perspective than that, but take the resources that you are saving in the process and use that to assuage the needs of others.
Yeah, the line of sacrificial giving is really important.
Yeah, it is, and the Bible study is as well. I mean, that's why during the Lenten period there are so many Bible readings and so many church services and so many opportunities to focus on those things which are beyond the earthly, the mammon that I was just talking about, and focus on those things which are eternal.
Yeah, excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for your contribution. I'm really glad that you called, and thank your presbyter as well.
Not a problem. Thank you very much, Hank.
God bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Dave next in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Dave is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
It is a pleasure.
Okay, so about a little over a month ago, I go to a non-denominational church, and I went and actually had a full immersion water baptism. And after that, this last Sunday or Saturday, they started talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not quite sure that I understood exactly what was going on, because really and truly it was the first time that I had ever heard of something like that. And I did go back and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, my question to you is, one of the things that they talked about was, the speaking of the tongues after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they tried to come around, and the preachers and the pastors tried to come around and tried to help you do that, okay? Now, my question is, a two-part question. First of all, if I really didn't understand fully what was happening, I mean, is there a possibility that it didn't happen? Because I'm trying to understand this whole speaking of the tongues issue, and it really hasn't happened for me since the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, is that a requirement?
No, absolutely not. And I think that one of the things that's wonderful is when you're baptized, you're buried to your old life and raised to newness of life through His resurrection power. You're baptized within a community of faith. You take up your cross. You daily follow God, and you partake of the graces that He makes available to you. But the Bible is very clear about one thing. Whether tongues has various dimensions to it or not, the one thing we know is not all speak in tongues, but all are called to be those who are going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit and communicate that to the world through our life and through our love and through our lips. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit may eventuate in someone speaking in a tongue, and that tongue could be seen as another language as it was first seen at the Azusa Street Revival, or it could be seen as a unique gift, a separate unto itself, a heavenly language. But whatever, this is not the evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It may be a evidence, but it is not the evidence. The Bible makes that absolutely clear. So I would not seek for a gift that you have not been given, nor would I allow someone to use socio-psychological manipulation tactics to talk you into something that is a counterfeit of the real, because we don't want to take something that's counterfeit and attribute that to the Holy Spirit, because that, of course, would be blasphemy.
Right. The one thing that I have, really realized since the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when I go in and start reading the Bible, like, it makes more sense to me now. It's clearer. I can't really put a word to it, but
well, you just did beautifully. I mean,
makes
sense to me. Yeah, I mean, that's beautiful. That's exactly right. I mean, this is one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals things which wouldn't normally be revealed to you. I mean, sometimes I liken this to reading someone else's mail. If you don't have a context for it, you just don't get what's going on. But you do understand the mail that's delivered to you, and this is God speaking to you. You are now a follower indwelt by the Spirit, and it is the Spirit unveiling things that He has in the treasure chest of Scripture. So, yeah, I mean, this is a great example of one of the manifestations of the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Working redemptively within you, working within you a knowledge of what He has encapsulated in His Word. So beautiful.
Okay, great. That makes me feel a whole lot better now. The church kind of made it sound like, oh, well, you're going to just, kind of walk around speaking in tongues all the time, and I didn't know if that was correct or not.
Well, one thing that we can say, again, with certainty, is that while it may be a evidence, we don't want to make it the evidence, because then we've gone beyond Scripture.
Great. Thank you very much, Hank. God bless you.
And God bless you as well. I'm kind of wondering whether I can get in one call before we go to break. Let's try. Joy in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call, Hank. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. And the issue that I wanted to share with you is, it really weighs heavy on my heart, is an issue about my son.
Mm-hmm.
I'm married. We have four adult children, and my second oldest is a boy who's now 27. And 6 years ago, he admitted to my husband and I that he was gay. He also told us he was now atheist. I was raised Baptist. My husband was raised Catholic. We raised our children in a Methodist church. He went to Sunday school, Bible school. I prayed with him. He went to church camps, and he was baptized at the age of 11. And so this was really shocking to us. We had no inkling. He had a steady girlfriend through most of high school. So I was very shocked and didn't suspect it at all. And I guess the things that I'm still trying to deal with right now, we do have a good relationship with him. I have, prayed with him. I've prayed for him. I've given him the Case for Christ authors, who has a Bible that is very factual in science. Gave him a copy of that Bible, and he has read it. I see where he's highlighted in it. But he's very, very intelligent. He now has a highly educated and intelligent partner as well. But I guess when I'm reading my Bible, I've always believed in Proverbs 22:6, where it says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. But as of late, I've been reading Romans 8:30, where it says, and those he predestines, he also has called.
I'm going to have to leave it at that, Joy, because I'm right up against a hard break. This is an awkward moment right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Let me make some comments when we come back from the break. We'll be right back, so please don't touch that dial.
Since the beginning of Christianity and for more than 1,000 years, there was a common conviction that all matter, all nature is mysteriously and metaphysically anchored in God. Devoted Christians yearn for mystery and meaning in a world that has become progressively disenchanted over the past 500 years. And a growing number of Christian scholars are now calling for the retrieval of a hearty sacramental ontology for the church and its witness to the world. Read In Search of the Sacred, Coming to Grips with Secularity by Arthur W. Hunt III in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. During the mid-20th century, African Americans who concluded that Christianity is the white man's religion often embraced the black supremacist cult Nation of Islam. Although Nation of Islam numbers have since declined, it retained some influence. To attract more educated followers, Nation of Islam scholar Wesley Muhammad has formulated new arguments to legitimize Nation of Islam's view of God. How should Christians respond? Find out in the article, "Is the Black Man God? Challenging the Central Claim of the Nation of Islam" by Jimmy Butts, in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. We're going to go back to Joy and her question about her son coming out as gay, as well as giving up the faith, becoming an atheist in just a moment. But the quote of the day, important because there are three very significant building blocks of civil society: marriage, church, and government. And resting atop these foundations for human life, there is nothing more significant than the supremacy of marriage. And because of that, it's instructive to spell out marriage redefinition as going against everything that corresponds to truth. Earlier on, I talked about the anthropological reality, the biological reality, and the civil reality, but I thought it might be good for the quote of the day to quote the Word of God. So here we have Yahweh, the one who spoke and the limitless galaxies leapt into existence, the one who knit us together, the one who created all things and ordered all things, saying that he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Again, quoting from the immortal words of Genesis and Yahweh, the God of Israel, himself. Let's go back to Joy in Cleveland, Ohio, and let me make a couple of comments in response to what you said before. We had to go to a hard break. Sorry about that. But yeah, I mean, one of the things that we do, Joy, is we get rid of God, because if there's a God, we're accountable. So as I have found out in my own life, oftentimes the problem is not intellectual, it's moral. We don't want to live within the parameters that God sets forth for us to live within, and so we attempt to rationalize him out of existence. And by the way, I did that up until age 29. So I want you to have hope and a recognition that if you demonstrate love and you demonstrate the ability to give an answer to the questions that are raised when you have an opportunity to answer those questions, God may as yet see to it that there's a transformation in your son's life.
That does give me hope. Thank you.
You are welcome, and thank you so much for calling. It's very awkward, as I said, when you have something that's so personal, and then you're up against a hard break on the radio. There's a book, Joy, hopefully you're still listening, that I think is fantastic in this regard. Often when questions don't offer themselves up easily to simplistic sound bites, so there are books that really drive home the importance of a biblical worldview, and there's none more significant than the book written by Joe Dallas. It's titled, When Homosexuality Hits Home, What to Do When a Loved One Says They're Gay. So if you're listening, Joy, you can get the book at equip.org, or just hang on, be happy to send the book out to you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Greg next in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Greg.
Yes, hi, Hank.
Hi.
I was wondering, have you read the book or saw the movie The Shack?
I've read the book, haven't seen the movie, and I actually did a couple of things. One is I did a review of the book that's on the web at equip.org, but secondarily, Adam Pelzer did an article which is on the web at equip.org, which reviews the movie as well. So we have something from yours truly that deals with the book itself, and then from Adam Pelzer with respect to the movie.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of disturbed about, I've been hearing that many Christians are flocking to that book, and it teaches universalism, and it has some misconceptions about the Trinity, and I wanted to just know what you thought about that. I'm kind of disturbed about it.
Well, I think you should be, and it's unfortunate that many Christians are not exercising a spiritual discernment. As I say so often, virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God, and that is on display in both the book and the movie. I think there's a sense in which you might apply the term universalism to what is being discussed as well, because you have Jesus, who is characterized as a Jew with a big nose in the book, declaring that I'm not a Christian and I have no desire to make Buddhists or Mormons or Muslims Christian. In fact, he, the author, William Young, describes Christians as religious fanatics and part of a sinful world system. Well, in sharp distinction, the followers of Christ adopted the word Christian in the midst of suffering and persecution. The Apostle Peter, for example, writes, "If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name." A Christian, a follower of Christ. So a lot of problems with the book and the movie. The movie does eliminate some of the more problematic aspects of the book, but in either case, I think this is cause to be equipped when people talk about it, to have an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Dan in Illinois, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Hank, can you hear me?
Yeah, sound great.
Fantastic. Hank, a complicated question. I know this is a podcast, and I don't want to get into the theological manifestations of a very complex subject. Briefly, I was an atheist for many, many years and came to know Christ 6 years ago. I've been getting my master's degree at Biola University in California, and I did take a course with William Lane Craig on middle knowledge. As you know, there's a book, a fantastic book by Luis de Molina on divine knowledge, part four of the Concordia, which I read and so forth. And my question is this. I know that this is not essential Christian doctrine, and we can, debate about it vigorously, but we don't have to, argue about it and so forth. I understand that. I've read many of your books. I've been listening to you for the last 6 years. You're a great Christian, and I love you for it. I just wanted to know your take on this, because I think from a strict Calvinistic perspective, I can't subscribe to predestination and, people that are elected to go to hell and predestination and that sort. And on the other hand, I don't subscribe to the Thomas Aquinas theory of, absolute free will, where God does not have knowledge and is sort of like flying by the seat of his pants, and depending on what the person decides in terms of his free will. And so this whole idea of middle knowledge with Luis de Molina, where you sort of like take the absolute sovereignty of God and the free will, and you put this together with his middle knowledge, I thought was a very, very interesting theological idea. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on it.
Well, I do think it's a very interesting theological idea, and you correctly point out that this is the brainchild of Luis de Molina, who was a 16th century Jesuit priest who was also reacting to the strong predestinarianism of Luther and Calvin and other Protestant reformers. And so he saw this as an opportunity of reconciling God's sovereignty with human free will, preserving genuine human libertarian freedom against compatibilistic views of freedom. And you're also correct in saying that the prominent defender of this view is William Lane Craig. Now, look, I have no problem with this. I think it is a possible way of reconciling two things, but I've also over the years become wary of trying to reconcile things that in my mind are irreconcilable. I mean, there are antinomies, and I am more comfortable today than I have ever been living in the land of antinomy, meaning tension. There are so many things that in the early years as an apologist and a new Christian, I tried to figure out. I still remember, and in fact, I have the evidence of a Bible here in my studio in which I was drawing pictures to try to come up with the perfect analogy for the Trinity. And eventually, after many illustrations and thinking this through, and I finally came to, I think, the wisest decision of all, and that is to leave this in the land of Antinomy, recognizing that there is a great mystery here, and no illustration properly solves that mystery. It is beyond our ken. And so I leave this great mystery alone, recognizing that I can apprehend something that I can't comprehend. Of course, the incarnation falls into the same category. The real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, for me, falls in the same category. I don't try to use Western logic to unravel that which cannot be unraveled. I rather leave this, as the ancients said, as the mysterium tremendum et fascinans, the mystery that causes me to tremble and yet attracts me. So I more and more love the land of Antinomy in these kinds of discussions. I mean, I appreciate people trying to unravel them, but I also recognize that just as I choose my path, God directs my steps, and I can't fully figure that out. I know that God is sovereign. I also know that if I don't wash my hands, they're not going to become clean on their own. So, again, maybe not a satisfactory answer for you, but just an indication that I am more comfortable as I grow older living in the land of Antinomy.
No, I think your answer is, I think, a fantastic one. You know, bear in mind, Hank, that you've got probably 35 plus years. You know, I'm 61 years old and came to know the Lord at age 55. Certainly, you know, loving the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind, and with all of my strength. And one of those things, you know, I take very seriously is also the mind. And so I want to know, but, you know, I haven't been at this as long as you have, but certainly, again, it's not essential Christian doctrine, but I wanted to get your take because I do read a lot about your books. I read, I listen to you all the time. I think you're a fantastic apologist. I think you do represent the Lord, and I view you as a Christian brother, and I thank you.
Well, thank you so much for those kind compliments, and you're studying under some fantastic people. William Lane Craig is a premier apologist, so to be able to learn from him is a great privilege as well. Thanks again for tuning into this broadcast, for supporting this broadcast. I can't do what I do without you. For those that join CRI's monthly support team, a special thanks. This is a wonderful group of people that are being added to daily as we take this ministry around the world. So thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Tom Bethel's book, Darwin's House of Cards, to show you why, like Bethel, he's inclined to say that there is actually no evidence for evolution. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.